بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this Thursday afternoon's live edition of Revival in Motion. We find ourselves 1 week away from the blessed month of Ramadan already. A week ago, we celebrated Eid in most parts of the world, last week Wednesday or Tuesday. And here we are already setting off into the second set of 10 days of Shawwal. It still is not too late to set your post-Ramadan goals. So if you've been looking and finding that the days are passing by and we're further and further away now from the month of Ramadan and the day of Eid, please don't be disheartened. Use every opportunity that you have now to still set your post-Ramadan goals. We still have another 20 or 21 days of the month of Shawwal in which you can start keeping your fasts or keep up with your Quran goals, or any of the other different goals that you've set for yourself, for your personality, your character, your knowledge seeking, your personal development and growth, whatever goals you've set out for yourself this Ramadan. Still work on keeping up with them, inshallah, and may Allah give you success and consistency, and for all of us, Ameen Ya Rabb. Now this month we've turned our focus to understanding the Asma al-Husna, learning about them, and learning more about our beloved Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we know more and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And this can help us, inshallah, in our journey of knowledge, in our journey of obedience to Him, inshallah. Now many of us may have in our early days of Islam, or having been brought up in a Muslim home, may have heard the Asma al-Husna playing out in almost like an Rashid form, and we've perhaps learned it very easily. But how many of us actually make time to go back on the Asma al-Husna, to go back and to read on them and to understand what they mean, to understand who our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala is? Through the Asma al-Husna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this gift of learning, of the opportunity of knowing who our Creator is. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, what does that mean? We recite it every day in the Bismillah. We recite it in Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite it just generally when we say Bismillah before doing anything. So what does this mean when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely merciful and compassionate? And here is where that journey is for us, to constantly be expanding our horizons, be willing, ready, eager, excited, to want to learn more. And through the Asma al-Husna, we can each time, no matter how many times we explore the divine names, be learning something new, taking away a message, a reminder from our Creator. Reminders of His greatness, His mercy, His forgiveness, His help, His power, His gentleness. And all of us, inshallah, strengthening our taqwa muscles, strengthening our tawakkul muscles as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. So today on the program, inshallah, we're going to turn our focus to more of the divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the program today, we're going to look at a name that very often we do not focus on somehow. I think often we turn to the names that we know very well, or we recite very often. So today, inshallah, I want to invite you to join us as we learn more about a divine name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, of course, have heard the name, but today, understanding what this name means and understanding how to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding more about the greatness and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we hope to strengthen our iman and strengthen our taqwa with the divine beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and today inshallah the name Al-Aziz. So join us as we learn more about this divine name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us begin. Now, this is a name that has been, a divine name that has been expressed over 95 times in the Quran. Did you know that? And if you think about it, when you read the Quran, you're often finding yourself saying the name Al-Aziz in different instances. It is a name that gives us strength. Now, The name Al-Aziz is one of those names that has to be felt rather than explained. And that's true for all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine names. And what we intend doing this month is looking at some of the names we don't talk about often, so that we can understand and feel and live by these names. Right now, this name, Al-Aziz, denotes power, dignity, and uniqueness. And inshallah, I pray that today we're able to internalize the meaning of this name. So let us begin. In Lisan al-Arab, Al-Aziz is defined as... Now, Lisan al-Arab is the dictionary that we use in terms of the Arabic language. Not just the dictionary per se, but really a compendium that gives us a deeper understanding and meanings into the complexity and the richness of the Arabic language. From the attributes of Allah and His glorious names, it is said, Al-Aziz, He is the invincible that no one can overpower. And others said, Al-Aziz, He is the all-powerful who is able to overpower everything. And it is also said, there is nothing like Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of His names are Al-Mu'izz, meaning Allah gives Izzah to whomever He wills. And Izz is the opposite of humiliation. The Syrian scholar Sheikh Ratib al-Nabulsi states that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, He gives honor, dignity, and strength to whomever He wills. Let us learn more about this divine, beautiful names through the Quran and Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the concept of Izzah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, seek the things you need with self-respect and dignity. بِعِزَّتِ أَنفُس. For all matters run according to divine ordainment. The true servants of Al-Aziz are those who derive their dignity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they respect themselves and they have an inner strength. And one such person was Asma bint Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. When Asma radiallahu anha was young, she protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and her father when they had escaped to go to Medina Munawwara. As they hid in the cave from the Quraysh, who wanted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed, it was Asma radiallahu anha who took food to them. Abu Jahl, who was so angered and frustrated that they had not caught them, asked Asma where her father and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were. She did not tell them. She did not tell Abu Jahl. He then slapped her so hard that she bled. But still, Asma did not tell them. Abu Sufyan even came later to her to apologize. She carried this trait with her even when she was old. This was Asma radiallahu anha, meaning not just when she was young that she had this dignity and this honor to her, but even in her older age. Let's find out more. Her son, Abdullah ibn al-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, was being besieged in Mecca by al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu said to his mother, I am afraid they will mutilate my body after I die. To which Asma radiallahu anha responded, and what difference does it make to a sheep that its skin is taken off after it is killed? And Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was indeed martyred. Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf went to Asma bint Abu Bakr after her son's death and said sneeringly, did you see what I did to your son? And she replied, listen to this. Yes, I see that you ruined for him his dunya, but he ruined for you your akhirah. Another example is the scholar Al-Izz bin Abdul Salam. He once said to the ruler of Cairo, fear Allah with regards to your flock and rule them with justice. To which he responded, yes, O Izz, we will do that. Later, the daughter of Eliza said to him, "Weren't you afraid when you said that to him?" And he said, "When I thought of the might of Allah." The ruler of Cairo seems like a kitten to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz. And so it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives izzah to his righteous servants. In the Quran Kareem, we are told of the two prophets who were sent to a people in Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin, ayah number 14. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when we sent to them two, but they denied them. So we strengthened them with a third, and they said, "Indeed, we are messengers to you." The word for strengthened that is used is azzazna, from the same root of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Aziz. When you do something for Allah and you behave with dignity and strength, then Allah strengthens you. Then Allah gives you izzah because only He can. Allah is the invincible. During the Battle of Badr, when the Muslims were a mere 313 against 1,000 of their enemies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts to us how He helped the Muslims. Allah tells us in Surah 3, verses 123 to 126, "And already had Allah given you victory at the Battle of Badr, while you were few in number. Then fear Allah, perhaps you will be grateful." Remember when you said to the believers, "Is it not sufficient for you that your Lord should reinforce you with 3,000 angels sent down?" Yes, if you remain patient and conscious of Allah, and the enemy come upon you attacking in rage, your Lord will reinforce you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction. And Allah made it not except as a sign of good tidings for you, and to reassure your heart thereby. And victory is not except from Allah, the exalted in might, the wise. Now this verse ends by telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one exalted in might, Al-Aziz, and the wise, Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz always comes with either Allah's names, Al-Hakim, the wise, or Ar-Rahim, the merciful. Have you noticed that? Because some people might interpret Izzah to simply be defiance, whether justified or not. But Izzah is always tempered by wisdom and mercy. And thus, when we attempt to be servants of Al-Aziz, we must remember that it is Allah who gives strength. And that can be internal strength or external strength. For us to have izzah, it should not turn into rage or arrogance or harshness, but it should always be accompanied by wisdom and mercy. If you've ever heard the da'i, Amr Khalid, talk about this, he's given some points on how to live by Allah's name, Al-Aziz, how to recognize it and live by it. And I want to share some of those points with you. So we've talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine name, Al-Aziz, what it means, in which context we find it within the Quran. We've looked at historical examples as well. Now let us understand how to live by this divine name. So when we think of the name Al-Aziz, or we reflect upon it, one of the first things we recall is strength. Strength in people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever a believer is humiliated before him and he does not help him when he is able to do so, Allah will humiliate him before the creation on the day of judgment." And this is reported by Ahmed. So strengthen people. Don't humiliate them. You see them humiliated, help them. The second is, go to Allah with humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, and true Izzah belongs to Allah. I want to share with you the story about humility. It's the story of a man who was once walking around the Kaaba saying, Oh Allah, my clothes are simple as you can see. My daughter is weak as you can see. My wife is poor as you can see. Oh you who sees what is in us and cannot be seen. A scholar heard this and he tried to give the man money. The man was surprised and he said, No, I'm wealthy. I own this and that. I come from so-and-so place. So the scholar asked, So why do you say what you say? You're saying, my daughter is weak, my clothes are simple, my wife is so poor. Why do you say that? And the man replied, O Imam, Allah loves those who go to him in humility. When we make dua, do we drop the facades, the layers, the veils of the pride or arrogance that we've put there as our protective mechanisms for the outside world? When we talk to Allah in dua, when we ask from Him, when we seek from Him, what mindset and what attitude do we go in that dua with? Do we remind ourselves we are asking from the mighty, the wise, the one who's in control of everything? Do we remind ourselves, as the Quran tells us, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِي وَأَنْتُمُ الْفَقَرَى And Allah is al-ghani, and you, meaning you and I, human beings, we are the poor, we are the destitute. And it is not just about wealth, material wealth, but destitute. But truly, even that, if Allah didn't give us that, we would have nothing. If Allah didn't give us a piece of bread or a glass of water, we would have nothing. If Allah didn't give us breath to breathe, air, oxygen, if He didn't give us the clothes we have on our back, everything is from Allah. Every single thing. Our voice that we make dua with, our hands that we hold up to Him, everything He has given us is what we use to ask from Him. The tears we shed come from Him. The hands we hold up in dua are hands He's made for us and created for us. Subhanallah. So the second thing the name Al-Aziz teaches us is to go to Allah with humility in your prayer, in your worship, in your dua, being humble and approaching in your dua with humility. We have nothing, we are nothing, unless Allah chooses to give us. The third is to be dignified and to give something for Islam. Allow me to explain. Anyone who truly feels this name, Al-Aziz, will want to give something for Islam because he or she is confident in Allah as his Lord. As human beings, we sometimes derive our strength and our dignity from material things such as wealth or status or even ethnicity or nationality. But if we do that, those are the things that we will pursue, and without them, we will feel a sense of inferiority. Yet Allah is the one who strengthens, and true dignity comes in servitude to Him. When our pursuits become in the name of Him, we will feel an empowerment that cannot come when our sense of worth comes only from worldly things. And that is when we will surprise even ourselves, because we do not hold back based on a limited perception of the difficulties around us. Remember that the Prophet ﷺ said with confidence to Suraqa bin Malik as he was being hunted down by him, O Suraqa, what about the day when you will be wearing the bracelets of Kisra? At that point, when from the outside he could have seen that he was at his lowest point, he was after all being chased by a bounty hunter and wanted by an entire city. He had absolutely no doubt in what was to come from Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu sums this up in this oft quoted statement. I want to share this with you after the break. So I ask you to have your notepad out, whether you're writing on paper, as I prefer to do, or you're putting down a note on your phone. But really, this quote of Umar radiallahu anhu that sums up the dignity that Islam has given us. We'll talk more about that after this nasheed break. We'll continue talking about the divine name Al-Aziz and learn more about the lessons that we gain from the divine name Al-Aziz. For now, a nasheed break. On the program today, we are talking about the divine, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lessons we learn from there, and how to live with the beauty of these names. Today, we've been discussing the name Al-Aziz, and in talking about the lessons we learn, and how to live by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine name Al-Aziz, as the servants of Al-Aziz, we've learned to strengthen people. We've learned that the hadith teaches us when a believer is humiliated before you, and if you don't help that person when you are able to, then Allah will humiliate you before the creation on the Day of Judgment. So let's make that effort to strengthen people, to help people. When we see they're being humiliated, make that effort to help them. And the second was to go to Allah with humility in our dua, in our prayer, in our broken efforts at worship, to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. And the third is, and we've been talking about this just before the nasheed break, was to be dignified and give something for Islam, because Islam has given us our dignity. It was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu who said, and this is often quoted, really powerful. And what I'd like us to do is to perhaps make a note of it, or just reflect on it at least, and ask yourself, in the scheme of my life, where do I make the statement, and how do I make the statement come alive? Umar radiallahu anhu once said, "We were indeed a very lowly people. Allah raised us to honor and greatness through Islam. If we forget who we are and wish other than Islam, which elevated us, the one who raised us surely will debase us." So our role is to strive with dignity, and Allah will give us the strength needed, inshallah. And the fourth, but certainly not the last point, is to fear only Allah, and in doing so, derive your strength from Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be overpowered. You and I, we sometimes fear people because of what we perceive to be their strength over us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz. And we should always remember this when we are faced with tyrants. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu were hiding in the cave of Thawr, and all that the disbelievers had to do was look down and they would see them, Allah sent down His Sakina, His tranquility upon them. Allah tells us in Surah 9, verse 40, "If you do not aid the Prophet, Allah has already aided him when those who disbelieved have driven him out of Mecca as one of two, when they were in the cave and he said to his companion, 'Do not grieve. Indeed, Allah is with us.' And Allah sent down His tranquility upon him and supported him with angels you did not see, and made the word of those who disbelieved the lowest, while the word of Allah, that is the highest. And Allah is exalted in might, Al-Aziz, and wise, Al-Hakim." We do not necessarily need to be afraid in order to recognize danger. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that the disbelievers would be able to see them if they looked down, that was a real danger in the cave, he also knew that Al-Aziz was with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true servants of Al-Aziz. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Truly, if we, you know, we look into our lives and we ask ourselves this question, that what am I doing to live by the light of these divine names and to be truly the servant of Al-Aziz. So to recap, to be the servant of Al-Aziz, strengthen people. If you see them being humiliated, help them if you can. Number two, go to Allah in your dua with humility. Number three, be dignified and give something for Islam, because Islam has given us our dignity. And number four, fear only Allah and derive your strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been talking today, if you've just joined us, about the divine, beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz is the one who possesses all meanings of might, honor, and glory. In Surah Yunus, verse ayah 65, we learn, إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. For all power and honor belong to Allah. Meaning, Allah is the one who possesses all of the meanings related to might, honor, and glory, عِزَّة. And these are amongst the others, but these are three of the meanings of Izzah, all of which affirm the completeness and the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first meaning, Izzah, regarding the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a tremendous description. The power of creation cannot compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Most High said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ وَالْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Verily, Allah is the All-Provider, the Owner of Power, the Most Strong. We read of this in Surah Dhariyat, Ayah 58. And in Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. And they said, who is mightier than us in strength? See they not that Allah, who created them, was mightier in strength than them? Allahu Akbar. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. SubhanAllah. And there are ayat upon ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about this izzah. The second meaning, izzah, is regarding his need. Indeed, he is the self-sufficient, and Allah does not need anything or anyone. Allah's servants will never be able to harm or benefit him. Rather, he is ad-dar, al-nafi', al-mani'. Allah is free from all imperfections, deficiencies, defects, blemishes, anything that negates his perfection. Allah is free from partners and associations. He, the Most High, said, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah As-Safat, at the end of it, glorified is your Lord, the Lord of honor and power. Allah is free from what they attribute to him, and peace be on the messengers, and all the praises and thanks are to Allah, Lord of the Alameen. Subhanallah. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces us to this meaning of the power, of his power. And the third meaning, izzah, regarding Allah's power over everything that exists and Allah's mastery. Everything is conquered by Allah. Everything is submissive to Allah's greatness. Everything is obedient to Allah. Nothing can move or act freely except by Allah's power, by his might, by his permission. Whatever Allah wills, occurs. And whatever he does not will, does not happen. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. In our daily recitation of the Manzil, we read from Surah Al-Imran, verses 26 and 27. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. So here we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of the kingdom. That Allah, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will. You endue with honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will. Now from the effects of having faith in this name, Al-Aziz, is that the slave of Allah becomes submissive to Allah alone, that the servant of Allah seeks shelter, refuge, safe haven and honor and power only in Allah. من كان يريد العزة فلله العزة جميعا. Whoever desires honor, power, glory, عزه, then to Allah belongs all عزه, all honor, power and glory. And one can only get honor, power and glory only by obeying and worshipping Allah alone. The verse we're quoting here is verse 10 of Surah Fatir. So whenever the slave of Allah increases in actualizing, in realizing this name, Al-Aziz, servant of Allah, will increase in gaining Izzah, the servant of Al-Aziz. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, but honor, power and glory belong to Allah and to His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I amongst those believers who gain this honor, power and glory for Allah's pleasure and His pleasure alone. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who live by the light of these beautiful names, and make us of those who not just read and memorize beautiful names, but who also make that effort to learn more about it and to live in the light of that and to truly be the servants of these beautiful names. Al-Aziz is the incomparable source of all strength and might, and Allah's power cannot be overcome or resisted. Allah gives honor, dignity, strength to whom He wills. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those servants who are truly the servants of Al-Aziz. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has 99 names, that is 100 minus 1, and whoever believes in their meanings and acts accordingly will enter paradise. And Allah is witr, one, and loves the witr, that is the odd numbers. Al-Bukhari. When we return in our next segment, our last segment before the close of this hour, we're going to look at something really important. And this is bringing us back to the practical aspect of bringing alive this need to embrace the Islamic lifestyle, and doing that through the knowledge that we are seeking and gaining, inshallah. In our next segment, we're going to look at why we should teach our children, grandchildren, or little ones who are under our care. Why should we teach them the 99 names of Allah? Find out more in our last segment after this break. Stay with us. Our discussion now takes us to teaching our children or young ones the 99 names of Allah. Today we looked at the name Al-Aziz, powerful, mighty name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we asked the question, how should we be as the servants of Al-Aziz? And we talked about that at much length. We're now turning our focus to why should we teach young ones the 99 names of Allah. Now, many of us as adults have memorized them, perhaps as children ourselves or through nasheed form. And many of us were encouraged as children to memorize it. Perhaps there was even a competition to learn it. Now, we have our own kids or our little ones that we are teaching. And yes, we should teach them. But the important thing is why. Why is it so important for our children to learn the Asma'ul Husna? And that's what I want to touch on. And the first thing is for us as adults to be motivated is to remind ourselves that the Asma'ul Husna are so important because they are the divine names and attributes by which Allah refers to Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem. And it is these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to mention in the Quran. Think about it. It could have been any names that Allah had chosen, because He is infinite in knowledge and power. And Allah has chosen these names. So there is power and might and light within these names. The first reason why we would want to teach our children, and not only our kids, but if we ourselves as adults, you're listening into the program, and you may think, well, I'm an adult, but I haven't had the opportunity or the chance to learn the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Allah, or maybe I've learned them at an earlier stage and I've forgotten them. It's not too late to ever learn it again or to start learning it from the beginning. And the first reason is learn the names of Allah. And this is the first motivation, so that you can obey Allah. Right, we are commanded in the Quran Kareem to call upon Allah using these names. I mention this really often in classes and workshops when we talk about dua and you know, nurturing the power of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. The most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. So call on Him by them. It's a command from Allah. And to call upon Allah with these names and to obey Him and His commands, we can only call upon Allah by His names if we know these names. So for example, when your child passes an exam, you can tell your child, MashaAllah, Allah is Al-Kareem, Alhamdulillah. Or if your child gets hurt, right, they trip and they fall, make dua together, Ya Latif, please heal my little one's cut or bruise and make him or her feel better. So you introduce them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every facet in their lives. And I think that's something beautiful. If you don't have children or your children are grown up, you can continue to do this in your own life. Right? Remembering, as you learn and remember more of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what they mean and their significance, you can include that in your conversation, in your dua, in your daily life. Learning the names of Allah are a means to Jannah. And wouldn't we want that for ourselves and our families? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, 100 minus 1. And whoever knows them will go to Jannah. The hadith tells us that whoever knows the 99 names will go to paradise. So the ulama believe that the word ahsaha refers to more than just memorization of the Asma al-Husna. It is thought that it refers to understanding the attributes of Allah and acknowledging their meanings. And Allah knows best. The third reason, the third motivation to teach our children the Asma al-Husna is to strengthen our relationship with Allah. When we love someone, we want to know more about them. So similarly, the more we know of Allah, the more we love Him, the more we fear Him, the more we are compelled to obey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning the 99 names of Allah is one of the powerful ways to strengthen the iman of our children and our own iman, and inshallah help them develop a deeper relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the current age we're living in, that information is plentiful. There are so many resources available to help your children or even yourself memorize and understand, begin understanding the 99 names of Allah. Now with children, they're very receptive to songs and rhymes. So many children easily learn the Asma al-Husna in almost with a rhythm to it. And there are many available online, you know, where the scholar or the nasheed artist is saying it in a singing voice, and it's easy to pick up and memorize the 99 names of Allah. Another option is you do get little cards, or you can make your own with each name, like flashcards, and use that. That's another way to work on it, like a flashcard system. You know, there's also charts that you could choose to make, you know, to help learn the names. You could do a challenge for yourself or your family, learning three names each day. And at the end of the month, you will have completed. If three is too many, you could start with one and do it over 3 months as well. And there probably are apps as well that we could use. There are apps for everything. So there probably is an app to help us learn the Asma al-Husna if that's something that interests you. But yes, it's important. It's important that the Asma al-Husna is something we ourselves have memorized. If we haven't as yet, it's never too late to start. And if we have young children or grandchildren, it's vital we strike up that conversation. If our kids are already in, you know, in grade 2, grade 3, and they haven't started learning the Asma al-Husna, it's important we bring this up. Ask our Islamic schools, preschools, kindergartens to start teaching our children the Asma al-Husna, and not for them to do it really, but for us to do it as the parents at home. So yes, while it's our responsibility at home, when it's being taught in a classroom setup, or if your children are in a homeschooling community and it's taught with a group of other kids, it's very often the kids enjoy learning it together. It's competitive for them, and that's great. But let's not leave it at that point. So many of our kids have memorized the Asma al-Husna. It's part of the syllabus, alhamdulillah, in many Islamic classes and schools. But what happens after that, after we've memorized the Asma al-Husna? do we have a system in place? Do we have a syllabus where at different ages our children are taught more about the Asma'ul Husna? And not just at primary school level, but I think what's so critical is that it is taught at high school level. That when our children are teenagers and the time when they are faced by the fitna of the world around them, that they are constantly being reminded of their merciful, loving, kind, compassionate, all-loving Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when I think it is crucial. So whether it's youth classes or groups or halaqa or ta'aleem or Islamic classes, madrasa, I think it's very important that at the high school level we are not neglecting the memorization of the Asma'ul Husna, but also more importantly an understanding of it. Because if we're leaving the Asma'ul Husna just to, you know, we're relegating it to primary school learning, then how do we introduce and how do we continue teaching our teenagers and young adults to develop their relationship with their Lord? Do they know who Allah is? Do they know who is most merciful and infinitely compassionate, who is most loving, and who is the one who guides them? So it's vital that even at a high school level, more so than any other time, we are introducing our youth, our young adults to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are going through our dips in our iman, right, iman, we have high and we have lows. When we are going through those highs and lows, that we are constantly in contact with an understanding and a learning of the Asma'ul Husna, inshallah. Well, that brings us to the close of this week's live edition of Revival in Motion. Today, we discussed the name Al-Aziz, and we sought to understand how to live in the light as being the servants of Al-Aziz. We also did a bit of motivation now about learning the names of Allah, why it's important for our young ones to know, but equally important for the Asma'ul Husna to be part of a learning program and syllabus for our teenagers and young adults as they go through life. It is important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the forefront of their lives. Join us again next Thursday as we continue embracing the Islamic lifestyle here on Revival in Motion. Jazakumullah khairan for listening in. Keep us in your dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.